Hi, my name is Eric Edwards. I played Pearl on the phenomenal movie Blade, and this is the Vampire Movie Minute.
Welcome to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, the podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by other Movie by Minute shows. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and today we're covering minutes 60 to 65 of Marvel Comics' Blade. And joining me for these minutes of the podcast, we have...
It's me, it's Leandra. I'm from Rocky Horror Minute. And we just started Shock Treatment Minute.
And what is Shock Treatment for people who are not familiar with what that is? Because it sounds like the sequel to Shocker.
Yeah, it is not. It is the it's considered the sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Some call it a prequel, other people call it an equal. It is a very odd film set a couple of years after the events of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where Brad and Janet are essentially sucked into a reality TV show.
Oh, my.
It is. There's a lot of fun in it. Lots of great music, but it is a little bit hard to love.
I bet, as I've never heard of it before until just now. There was a sequel to Robert Englund's Phantom of the Opera, and the script got remade into a film called Danse Macabre. It's its own film, and it's kind of terrible. It's made by 21st Century Studios. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
That's the offshoot of the Canon Films group. When the Canon Film guys, like, broke up their friendship and their business, I think it's Malakal Golem went off to make 21st Century Studios. And the only other movie I know that they made, they made several, and they're all terrible, and none of them have made money. So it's basically, like, again, continuing the Canon tradition of, like, but worse. They made the Captain America movie from 1990 where the Red Skull's Italian and he's got the rubber ears to cover up his real ears because poking his ears through a costume was painful, I guess.
That is such a choice that they made.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things in there that are like, well, this is Captain America. At least it looks like Captain America. That's the one thing you can say is like, that looks like Captain America. And the Red Skull looks like the Red Skull until he gets a facial reconstructive surgery. And you're just like, who's the scarred man the entire film? That's the Red Skull. Oh. Wait, where's Sharon Carter or Bernie? Oh, Bernie's like a stay-at-home mom and Sharon is just some like whiny 90s teenager.
And with Shock Treatment, Barry Boswick and Susan Sarandon didn't come back. They actually recast them with Cliff DeYoung and Jessica Harper, who was in Suspiria, with somebody that we see in great detail in these minutes of Blade.
I will always remember Barry Boswick of Spin City fame.
Yes, he is an absolute delight. The Rocky community calls him Uncle Barry because he is just so beloved.
He's also in a movie, I think, called Geoforce or something like that. Some kind of, like, crappy, like, Chuck Norris ripoff film.
Yes. He's been in a couple of clunkers. One of the ones that I love bringing up to him the most, because I occasionally do some shows with him, is Helen Keller versus Night Wolves.
Oh, yes. I heard about that. And I think he's also in, like... Harry Truman Werewolf Hunter or something?
FDR American Badass.
Yeah, that's it. Close enough.
Yeah. And then one of the last times that I kind of dropped this into his ear, he went, if you're looking for things that I've been in that are just truly abysmal, you should watch Project Metal Beast. That's truly a low point in my career. And it wasn't good.
I've had the makeup and special artist on my show from that, Tom Irvine, and the guy in the costume for Project Metal Beast is Kane Hodder, best known for the Friday the 13th and Hatchet films.
That is wild that you've heard, that's even a thing that you've heard of, because anytime I bring up Project Metal Beast, people go, this can't be real. This is too goofy.
The guy who directed the In Search of Darkness documentary films, the In Search of Darkness, the 80s, part 1, 2, and 3, and In Search of Darkness, the 1990s, part 1 and 2, David Weiner, he, or Weiner, it might be Weiner, David Weiner, he is He's got like one IMDb actor credit to his name, and it's for a terrible movie called Project Vampire, and I brought it up to him when he came on the show,
oh, wow.
And he was like, we don't even have that in this documentary. That movie is so bad. The cover has two busty, clearly either porno or were in Playboy for like a hot minute, babes on the cover with like a scientist between them, and they're like in like what looks like tubes, like for experimentation, with straps over their breasts and downstairs parts to cover it up for a VHS release.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, gotta be conservative with that cover, so you gotta put the metal straps, kind of like what's her face from
like
the Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Lila.
Yeah.
Which I always wonder is just like, that's the stupidest looking costume ever. Why do people wear it? They're like, oh, it's part of her awakening. And I finally watched the movie for the first time ever a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay. It still looks stupid, though.
It's wild to think that the costumes from that are like high fashion designed. I think that it's like Hugo Boss inspired.
Oh.
It's so weird to think that. And like then you see, of course, the Ruby Rod or whatever his name is, with the I think it's Chris Rock who does it, and he's just absolutely wearing the most ridiculous nonsense. And yeah, that is fashion.
Oh, it's Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah. The worst part of that movie is Chris Tucker, FYI. I would have enjoyed that movie if he was not in it. He is the abysmal of that film.
It is, for me, it's like so bad it's good, but I come from a place of loving Rocky Horror and things that are so bad it's good, so.
I mean, the film is fine. He is just the worst part of that film. He's screaming all the time. It's just annoying. God, it was awful. Like, he is just a screaming idiot the entire film. And it's like, you know, no wonder, like, Bruce Willis said he would probably never work with him again.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Anyway, on to a movie that doesn't have any screaming idiots in it and is filled with its own kind of camp. You said there's somebody from your film in this that you mentioned that's in Blade?
So it's kind of a 6 degrees of separation. So we have Jessica Harper, who is, of course, in Suspiria, but then another actor in that who is actually uncredited is Udo Kier.
Oh,
so,
yes. He's in these 5 minutes, right? Yeah, he's Dragon
Eddie.
Yeah. I watched these minutes a long time ago, so I'm rereading through my notes and being just like, I think I can make out most of what I wrote.
Yeah.
So we open up the 5 minutes with Karen. Karen calls out to Blade. And he stakes his life on it, and we have a you-don't-know-me kind of attitude with Blade. When was the first time you saw this film?
I was definitely, like, a young kid, maybe too young. I was obsessed with anything vampire-related. My sister and I were a year tangentially adjacent to vampires. So, of course, this came out. We got it on, I think, VHS and watched it a million times. And yeah, it was something that we loved, and Stephen Dorff is just so cool in it, and I just remember thinking everybody in this was the coolest that you could possibly be.
Blade has to always remain a vampire so he can kill the thing that killed his mom. Little does he know, though, it's just kind of funny that what we get with that. I was trying to figure out who some of these people are while Quentin's getting his hand taken care of. And the vamp, as I wrote it down, the vamp bitch bites Quint right in the stubby hand. Ouch.
Yeah, I remember watching this a whole lot, but when I was rewatching to be on your podcast, I was like, I don't even remember these bitches. Like, where did they come from? Do they have names? They're really just there to be chaotic, like, set dressing in a kind of horny way.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a ton of characters on IMDb that are just listed as vampire, 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 uncredited, uncredited, uncredited. So
yeah.
Trying to pick them out with this one scene is impossible. Just randomly picking one of the vampires off of IMDb, like Laura Cadova, she's a vampire in a scene, but it doesn't tell me who the vampire is. She's also played a female vampire She played female vampire number 2 in Vampires, the John Carpenter movie, which I can only assume, as there are no real female vampires in this film, and except for the very, really at the very end, there's like a female vampire in the house that gets killed, and then later on, there's one of the master vampires pop up out of a grave, and then there's like a town full of vampires, so it's like, take your pick about which one female vampire number 2 is. But she's done some stuff, so... And she's still working today. She's on a TV series called Phoenix, which I have never heard of before. She was in Jane the Virgin. But, yeah, she's got two vampire roles back-to-back that are... Oh, and she's also in The Dead Undead. She plays a zombie vampire. Okay, so, sure. That movie starred Luke Goss, who I believe was Dracula in Dracula Untold.
I've never really thought of what a zombie vampire would entail, but that does not sound like my cup of tea.
Right. There's also, like, you know, in an earlier scene, we had woman in elevator. I want to say maybe this is one of the familiars in an elevator with Karen. And that's an earlier scene, but so at least they place her. They could play, you know, could have said club vamp. They do have like blood club vampire, vampire at rave, Kenji bartender, henchman. There's a cardboard cutout of someone that gets a credit.
Oh wow!
So it's like trying to figure out who any of these people are that don't get names is ridiculous, because there's also like in the actual credited versions. You know, there's Party Girl and Frost's Goon and Vampire Underling and Martial Arts Kid is the black girl who kicks Blade in the chest a few times before he just bitch slaps her to the ground. Who, by the way, I have reached out to. She is actually a trained child martial artist that had performed in, like, the Olympics and stuff. And I had tracked her down and possibly might have her on the show. Because she was at one point kind of toting bang, like, put me back in, Kevin Feige, put me back in. I was like, oh, sorry, kid. That's not happening. There's no new Blade movie coming, so.
That would be amazing, though. Like, what a good get.
Right. So Frost comes back in the room, and he's kind of pissed after, like, the vampire girl again bites Quint in the hand, which is just, like, she's, like, tending to his wounds and just, like, looking at it, like, intently, like you're looking at a chicken leg and just, like, jeez. Then Frost and Mercury start making out.
I've said this before. I'll just say it again. Stephen Dorff can make anything look cool, and like a bloody makeout scene with Stephen Dorff really elevates its own work. Like he's the coolest guy in this entire movie. No complaints here.
What happens after they put on the fancy face makeup?
Then they go hang out on a beach with Udo Kier, and it seems like a bit of a bummer that one of my favorite kind of character actors, I guess is what you would call Udo, this is the last we see of him alive, but of course they rip out his fangs and let him just get burst into flames by the sunrise and Frost, of course. He has the face cream on the sunblock, but then when the sun really starts coming out, he puts on the motorcycle helmet, which again, so cool.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how we end our 5 minutes, with them standing there watching Udo Kier getting burnt up in the sunlight with their cool motorcycle helmets on, and they just kind of watch the transition. It's got like a Daft Punk moment to it, but it's just, I guess,
really
to make
does.
Them look cool, because, you know, the motorcycles won't show their face, and even though they have the skin cream on, they need the motorcycle helmets. It's like vampires who go out in the daylight when it's overcast still need sunglasses, or vampires who can go out in the daylight, which has happened. Dracula can go out in the daylight, but can be killed by daylight, too. So maybe it's a feeding thing, because if you watch Bram Stoker's Dracula, Gary Oldman goes out in the daylight. If you read the actual novel, Dracula goes out in the daylight.
I love in the Bram Stoker's Dracula, his very tiny, there are either like blue or red sunglasses. It was just very much a product of the time.
Oh, absolutely. Tony Stark totally ripped him
off.
So
good.
Tony Stark and him had shop in the same Sunglass Hut.
Oh, absolutely. And no complaints there. It's just such goofiness looking at it through the lens of, like, 2025. But at the time, this was the coolest you could possibly get. This was the upper limit. So I love that they did this.
I'm kind of surprised that Robert Downey Jr. has never played a vampire before.
Well, I guess that it's never too late. He's getting into an age where he might be, like, a really fun Dracula.
I mean, the closest we're gonna get to him as Dracula is Doctor Doom.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I think he's tied up with Doctor Doom for a couple films. So
yeah.
We know he's gonna be in both Avengers Doomsday and Secret Wars. So I feel like he's gonna be super busy with those two films filming back to back and coming out a year apart from each other, and they're already delayed too because of, like, they need more time. And it's Marvel's patchwork trying to get everything to fix back to the way it was. So we'll see. I mean, but yeah, how about Robert? Yeah, sure. So, like, let's get the Blade movie done and have Robert Downey Jr. play Dracula in that. Because Dracula was supposed to be the villain in that Blade movie that never got made. Better than the plotline of Blade being raised by the three women and it all being about them and Blade being a side character in his own movie about female vampire hunters. Like, that would have done.
I think it wouldn't have really stuck the landing. I think you're right there, but
I think the political climate would have killed
it
too. The political climate would have destroyed that movie. I mean, just look at Superman, for God's sakes. He's everything you want Superman to be, and people are still complaining about it. It's like, I'm sorry. You're going to a Blade movie to see Blade stab vampires in the chest and kill them, not about women who raised Blade to be a vampire hunter.
Even though I think that would be super interesting to watch, like, it's a movie for...
But that's not Blade's story, though. It's,
exactly.
He's raised by, in the comics, he's raised by a guy named the Jazz Singer. He's like some kind of, like, pimp, you know? And then the comics, later on in the movies, obviously, with this film and the Spider-Man animated series, it's Whistler. You know, it's the it's another kind of trope. It's an old white man raising a black child. I mean, how many times have we done that? Black Lightning, Webster.
Yeah. I do really love that, though, because at least in this, Whistler is very much no-nonsense, and Blade acts like he's too cool to care, but, like, there's obviously some level of tenderness between the two of them.
Right.
And we'll hear a little bit more of that. In upcoming minutes, of course.
Right, or if you turn over to my other show, the Dead TV Podcast, where we're covering the Blade TV show, you get a lot more into the backstory of Abraham Winsler in that.
And that sounds very cool.
Yeah, we're almost done. We're a little delayed on recording. We're a little delayed on posting, so I will have an episode up about that soon. So, but that's all the time we have here for these 5 minutes of Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. Where can people find you?
You can find me at RockyHorrorMinute.com or on any of your Instagram or Facebook at Rocky Horror Minute. That's also where you can find info about our new podcast, Shock Treatment Minute.
Super. And you can find me here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast if you want to. Also check out the show that we're doing, me and Mr. Zeneca are doing, covering Blade, the TV show. We will have a couple of people on from that as well. You can check out my graphic novel, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, we gender swap the cast of Dracula. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.